You are Locked On Phillies, your daily Philadelphia Phillies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Join walking baseball encyclopedia Paul Francis Sullivan, and please call him Sully, every day on Locked On MLB for a unique look at the majors, both present and past, featuring exciting guest interviews and routine check-ins from Locked On MLB, this network team of local experts. Subscribe to the Locked On MLB podcast today on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, so a few things. One is I agree with you. I always, when debating this, right, managers can only do so much in a baseball game. Like, I think when you rank the four sports, and I actually don't even know how, you know, what your ranking of like interest levels in other sports are. The Eagles just lost to the 49ers. So if you're a San Francisco 49ers fan, that's another thing that, you know, is kind of we're dealing with here in Philly as of right now. But like coaches in football, for instance, like make a huge impact on the game. I would argue probably more so than any other sport, right? So much of it is game planning, play calling. Like the coach has their imprint on every little thing that happens in the game. Yes, you still need talent. And no, you can't just add Vince Lombardi or Bill Belichick to a zero win team and expect to win the Super Bowl, but it can probably change more than it does in any other sport. Basketball, yeah, you're managing the subs, you're managing a lot of egos in the modern day NBA, you're managing maybe usage rates of certain guys, but a lot of it is the players you have out on the court. And I think baseball is similar and different to that in the sense that it's a long season. As I mentioned, I think a lot of it is the intangible of just kind of keeping clubhouse morale up throughout the course of a long season. I mean, these guys during the season see their teammates more than they see their families in some cases, just the length of the road trips they're going on, and that it's each and every day and just nonstop, you know, game one, game two, all the way through 162 game season. You know, if anything spirals out of control, that could really be bad. And you got to spend three, four, five more months with these guys in some cases. Now, in the case of how much of an impact a guy like Kapler makes on a team like Philly, yes, I would agree that the Phillies' problems, to me, it was always clear, were a bigger issue than the manager. I never believed that Gabe Kapler was the reason they were winning 81 games and not winning the division. Like, there might be little decisions here and there that you disagree with, and I actually happen to dislike Joe Girardi even more this time around, because I think there have been games where he has lacked a quote unquote feel for the game, or it doesn't seem like he's making that big of an impact on the clubhouse. And part of that might just be the unrealistic expectations from the jump that this ownership that is more clearly more involved than the ownership out in San Francisco insists on making. Like, they quite literally made the statement when they hired Joe Girardi that he's a manager that adds 10 wins. Well, A, that's clearly not true, because they were 28-32 below 500 last year. And they're, to your point about them just sitting right around 500, they've been 500 25 separate times this season. They're sitting a few games above it right now, but they're going to sit there in the low to mid 80 win total when this entire season is said and done. So maybe it actually has nothing to do with the manager in this case. It's just a broader issue. I would also argue that the team has actually improved since Gabe Kapler took over in San Francisco. So if anything, Gabe Kapler is proving himself as a better modern day manager than Joe Girardi, just because I think he's mismanaged a number of things, quite frankly, in the National League game, when to pull pitchers, when not to, when to platoon certain guys, when not to. And those things, I mean, it's really cool to hear those stories about Kapler listening to his players and becoming a player's manager and also making it work, because that's the kind of thing that I will admit you've never really heard in Philadelphia. I mean, one of the clubhouse morale story that sticks out to everyone when you think of the Kapler era was Carlos Santana having to run into the clubhouse and beat the TV down with a bat because guys were playing video games in the middle of the game. Like, it didn't really seem like anyone was on board. You have Bryce Harper kind of laughing at the idea of this curveball machine that Gabe Kapler was rolling out. So whether there were certain guys that actively disliked him or guys that you weren't really getting the most out of them, he certainly has seemed to go to San Francisco, figure that aspect of it out, whatever that aspect of it is, to the point where guys are playing hard for him. He's figured out the, you know, analytical feel kind of balance and maximized what's ultimately the manager's job, which is the pieces that are put in place for you, the players that are put in place for you, are the biggest aspect of the team. You can kind of just swing the pendulum a little bit one way or the other. He's clearly, in my opinion, swinging it more so in a place like San Francisco. And that has led to why he's going to be manager of the year. The expectations were lower than maybe anyone gave it credit for. But to your point about Philadelphia, this ownership, I think, expedited the process, wanted to contend really, really fast, and bad didn't really go through the steps necessary or execute them well, quite frankly, which leads to moves like trading for JT Realmuto and going and signing Bryce Harper. And when you have a lackluster bullpen year after year, I mean, league's worst and like historically bad a year ago, and the rotation still is never fully filled out, it leads to being a 500 or slightly above or slightly below 500 baseball team, which is not something that, in my opinion, any manager can really fix.
Right. And you know what's funny, as I was hearing you say that, was that actually Brandon Belt credits the curveball machine for his offensive success.
Yeah, very different, right? Harper laughs at it. Belt is crediting it. Like, that's he's getting the players to buy in San Francisco in a way that players in Philly just simply didn't. And your star, the face of your team, simply didn't.
Right. Was he allowed to hire all of his own coaches, or was there kind of oversight on that as well?
There was a lot of, so he was brought in, it was beginning of 2018. There were coaches that, because they had went through, what was it, 5 or 6 different pitching coaches. That was dating well before Kapler. They gave him some power. I would never say he had absolute power. He's definitely made more of an impact on the Giants hiring process in San Francisco than he ever had here in Philadelphia. It always seemed to be like Matt Klintak's guys kind of thing. And they seemed to give more power to Girardi when he was brought here, even in the sense of like they always seemed to like Girardi more, ownership did, because they clearly got a few former Yankees on the team, like because of Girardi, whether it's the Ronald Torres, Didi Gregorius is the world. They got Rob Thompson, who was his bench coach in New York, and Gabe Kapler, whether it's because he never figured out, like, we'll never really know how much of a voice he had in, it was his first managerial job, right? So maybe he didn't fully know what he was doing in terms of putting a staff together, but I never got the sense that they were going to give him absolute power to hire his own coaching staff. Certainly not in year one. It trended maybe a little bit in that direction in year two, and then he was out after year two. So it's not as if they were ever committed to the idea of letting him just run with his own kind of team anyway, because the entire city had turned on him. And as you mentioned in one of your previous answers, like from day one, like no one ever liked him after he pulled Nola on 68 pitches on opening day in Atlanta. And ever since that day, like the remaining 161 games of that season, 162 the following season, was just like trying to win the fans back, and he never really got them back.
Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content, it varies by package. Hey, Phillies fans, this is Dan Wilson with an incredible app for everyone who buys gas and they need to know about it. Get Upside. My listeners are making up to 25% for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. Just download the free Get Upside app in the App Store or Google Play right now. Use promo code BASEBALL and get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first tank fill up. That's 50 cents cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using Get Upside. Just download the app for free and use the promo code BASEBALL to get up to as much as 50% per gallon cash back on your first tank. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 to $300 a month in cash back, and there's no catch. The cash back gets added right to your account. You can cash out anytime to your free bank account, PayPal, or an e-gift card or Amazon and other brands. Just download the free GetUpside app and use promo code BASEBALL to get up to 50% per gallon cash back on your first tank. That's baseball for 50% per gallon cash back right into your bank account.
Wow, that That sounds awful for him.
And yeah, it does, right?
And unfair. And I'm sure that he took some. He wouldn't say it, but you know, the Giants beat the Phillies, I think, in both series they played, and I'm sure that was gratifying for him. And I'm sure it's gratifying for him, like looking at the 97 wins that they have right now with 12 to play. And seeing these, like maybe he saw the tweet that I put out that kind of blew up a little bit, like because he's on Twitter. I don't know. But, you know, he knows that Girardi hasn't had any more success, that last year the Phillies bullpen was historically bad and he had nothing to do with it, obviously. But shoot, one more thing. Oh, Gabe Kapler and the coaching staff, just to get back to that for a second. When Bruce Bochy, quote unquote, retired, which, by the way, a huge tip of the hat to Bochy. It actually came out like shortly after he retired that he had interest in managing again. So I think again, like the stars aligning here, Bruce Bochy, after Farhan Zaidi was hired here, understood that the new front office who, like I said, was given total control was the right thing to do to let him pick a manager and not just inherit a manager who he can't fire because of how popular he was. But it was clearly time for a change of direction. If you look at, I mean, the Giants were bad from like 2017, 18, 19. But so Bochy left and the entire coaching staff was turned over except for one. And so Kapler, not only, it wasn't just a guy or two here and there, he was given autonomy to choose his entire coaching staff. And so I mean, he did. And these are untraditional guys like Donnie Ecker, Justin Veeley, and Dustin Lind. And then the pitching coaches, but an assistant pitching coach they had went on to be the White Sox pitching coach because he did such a good job in just a 60-game season with the Giants last year, Ethan Katz. And I wouldn't be surprised, like we've seen this with other teams, when teams like the Giants now or like the Rays or the Dodgers have so much success and player development being a big part of that. And that's something you don't see a lot of with the Phillies, frankly, is like developing major league players, like guys who have been around for a while and then they suddenly get better. Anyway, other teams pillage those coaches. So I wouldn't be surprised if some of these untraditional, lesser known coaches end up leaving the Giants because they've done such a good job. But just another example of, when you let these guys like make the decision, because he's going to be around these coaches more than anybody, he has a right to choose them. But if you don't trust him, then he's not going to choose them. And then you've got different kind of philosophies coming from different directions and everyone's not kind of working on the same level. And I don't know. I just think it's been a huge, huge part of the success in San Francisco is that, I mean, it's not to say they're all thinking the same way. He actually really values diversity, which I'm sure you heard him say in Philly. But, you know, they were chosen by him. And it's unbelievable how well they seem to be working together. They game plan to win each and every day. Like they have meetings each and every day to attack a specific pitcher. They use the curveball machine to like prep for that specific pitcher to kind of have the hitters face the type of break they're going to see against that game's pitcher, and it works. So Bryce Harper, I mean, he's a great player, obviously, maybe going to win the MVP, but he was wrong about the curveball machine, in my opinion.
Yes, for sure. And maybe it was just the delivery of it, right? Like you hear athletes. I remember, I think back to an episode I had months ago at this point with Phillies broadcaster Kevin Franson, who's actually a California guy, so you might be, you know, familiar with him, but so former Phillies infielder, and he came up during, so I mean, lucky enough, it was cool enough to be able to interview him for an episode of Locked On Phillies. And one of the things, maybe the number one thing I took away from that, was he played in the era where, you know, analytics existed, but the influx of analytics didn't really start to like the 2000s. And then really modern day analytics didn't start till maybe say the 2010s, and we see evolutions in it and breakthroughs, you know, each and every year and through little mini eras here. But he felt like he had played in through a number of different organizations, and without naming specific organizations of how maybe they presented it, he always talked about that certain organizations would just kind of like shove stuff like that down your throat. like, hey, you're going to use this like because I said so. And in his experience, players did not receive that well. Meanwhile, there were other organizations or other managers, coaching staffs that would be like, well, here's why this can help you. We're not trying to teach an old dog new tricks, but just take this into consideration. And in his opinion, you know, there were some guys who would still reject some of that new kind of mindset kind of thing, but that far more players would be receptive to that. So obviously I wasn't in the room when Gabe Kapler broke out the curveball machine for the first time. Maybe it was just like, hey, we're going to use the curveball machine. And everyone's like, who the hell is this guy? And then the second time around in San Francisco, the untold part of that story was, well, this can help you. Here's why we think it could work. And everyone's on board. Now Brandon Belt's like, yeah, this was a good idea. Like, he empowered us. He's listening to us better. So maybe there's some of that going on. I don't know, but I always thought that was kind of interesting and something that sometimes goes under talked about, in my opinion, like how the presentation of it could make the entire difference of getting players to buy into it or not. I also have to just amend one quick thing that I said earlier, because I was actually blanking on who the bench coach was for Gabe Kapler. It was actually Rob Thompson. So like a Girardi guy was the bench coach with the Phillies during Gabe Kapler's tenure. Not that they had any sort of bad blood that I know about, but that clearly wasn't one of Kapler's guys. There was turnover on the pitching coach side after 2018. Charlie Manuel was his hitting coach for a stretch there, who's like an old school hitting guy. So they never really gave, my overall point was that they never really gave Kapler the kind of power that you're talking about, certainly in San Francisco. It was a hire that the front office and obviously Matt Klintak, the general manager at the time, was in favor of, but I always thought it was ridiculous that Kapler ended up being the fall guy after 2019, not Klintak. They finally get rid of Klintak after 2020, and they're still feeling the impact of his regime as Philly's general manager. Now we're almost done with year one of Dave Dombrowski. And, you know, I even still point some blame there of, well, the pitching rotation was never really addressed and the bullpen wasn't fully fixed. And not that I expected a total, you know, revitalization of the team here in the year 2021, because there were so many problems to fix from last year, but it's the same problems existing. And the fact that we could literally see no improvement in year one for a guy who's supposed to be a win now type of president of baseball operations is still disappointing. And it stems back to a larger issue, but I think there's just tons of blame to go around that clearly, again, went above Gabe Kapler. They go above Joe Girardi, regardless of the fact that I think Kapler right now his stock is a lot higher than Joe Girardi's based upon how he's managing San Francisco, how Girardi's managing in Philly, and further proof that Kapler shouldn't have been the fall guy when he was manager of the Phillies.
Absolutely. And I think you're 100% correct about the presentation of analytics and the Giants players, that they literally say that. They say that and it wasn't Kapler. That's another thing. It was the hitting coaches who talked to them about hitting stuff. And so if you have coaches that you trust. Yeah.
Yeah. So quickly, when it was here, they always made it seem like it was Kapler pushing this stuff. And then you have like Charlie Manuel, the old school hitting guy who, you know, for all we know, is making like snickering comments. There isn't really buying in. So a lot harder to deliver the same kind of message here. So a much more unified approach with, as you mentioned, a diversity kind of like team assembled, but a unified message that it's a lot easier for players to buy into, I would think.
Yeah. And if you create a culture where the players value what the instruction that they're receiving, and they want to show up early and work on stuff that's actually making them better and leading to improved results on the field, that's the dream. And I think you see that with some organizations. You see it with probably Tampa, with the Dodgers. And I think that's exactly the type of kind of breakout organization wide you're seeing with the Giants. They've created a culture. These guys love to come to the field every day. The instruction is working. You talk about Darren Ruff, Crawford, Belt, Posey. They're all enjoying newfound success. And that's just to speak of the hitters. But you look at Kevin Gausman, Anthony DeSclafani, Jake McGee, and on and on and on. The players on the Giants get better. And that's just the goal to me, but that every organization should strive for, because then all of a sudden players from outside your organization want to come to your organization, and it kind of snowballs into you just being a team that people want to play for and a team that has success. And then those two things kind of work hand in hand. And so that's why I say, like, Kapler was a big part of that, and letting him do his thing. I'm sure learning in Philadelphia was a big part of it. Like I said, it's got to be tough to go to a new job like that. I mean, it's quite a job to just be thrust into, and oftentimes guys do not have success right away. And unfortunately, it was like the perfect storm, just in the opposite way, where he was destined to be run out of town because for all the different factors we've discussed. But who knows what the future holds. But as of right now, I'm glad, and I think that he was the perfect guy to take the over Giants, this job. Yeah.
More Locked On Phillies coming right up, but first have to tell you about Built Bar. Did you know that Built Bar has so many delicious flavors? There's something for everyone. When you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're definitely passionate about their favorites. If you don't know the Built Bar flavors by now, you're certainly missing out. There's coconut, cherry barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, German chocolate. My personal favorite, definitely that cookies and cream. If you haven't tried all the flavors by now, you can get that mix box where you'll get two of each of those nine flavors. Not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, but they're healthy too. 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging from 130 to 180, 4 to 5 grams of sugar, 4 to 5 grams in net carbs, amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy. Go to Built.com, use the promo code LOCK15, and you'll get 15% off your first order. Again, go to Built.com, promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at Built.com. One last time, Built.com, promo code LOCK15 for 15% off your first order. Also have to tell you about betonline.ag. We're back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back on the field to start yet another football season. Got week 3 coming up. Full NFL slate, full college slate, of course. And as always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college betting action this season. With the new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, betonline.ag continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website, use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. Don't forget to use promo code NFL100. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports. BetOnline, it's your online sportsbook experts. And when you use the promo code LOCKEDON, you will get that promo code, a 50% welcome bonus.
So I'll get you out of here on this. Your official prediction, Giants have 4 series remaining. They start a 3-game series in San Diego tonight, followed by 3 in Colorado, and then I believe a homestand, home versus the Diamondbacks, home versus the Padres. So all NL West division games, 12 games remaining. They sit, as of right now, a game above the Dodgers, who also have 12 games remaining. They have 97 wins. Dodgers have 96. What is your prediction as of right now, how this plays out? Do they get it done? Do they win the NL West? Do they do it in regulation, I'll call it, in the 162? Do they need that game 163 in San Francisco to get this done? And in terms of, you know, playoff hopes, how does this 2021 Giants season end for manager of the year, Gabe Kapler, and Farhan Zaidi and company, of one, I think, the story in all of baseball this season?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to say right now. I think it's really too close to call, and any prediction I would make would be just a guess, because I think if it ends up one team wins the division outright in 162, it'll probably be by about a game. It'll be one team has 104 wins and one has 103, something like that. I feel like in my gut that we may be destined for a tie. And I mean, come on, talk about the drama that would produce. Giants versus Dodgers in San Francisco, winner wins the NL West. So I think the Giants find a way to pull it off. They just have that kind of team of destiny vibe about them. I feel like the Dodgers probably, you know, they feel more pressure to win the division, I would say.
Expectations are
much higher. And so if they don't win, you know, that's going to be a huge disappointment for that team. And then to me, if they go to the wild card game, they're going to be like, we shouldn't be here. And maybe that little bit of a mentality lets a red hot team like the Cardinals potentially sneak in and beat that team. Who knows? But ultimately, it's hard for me to sit here and say the Giants are going to win the World Series. I think it's always more likely than not when you're talking about the playoffs. No matter what team it is, you take the field over the one team you're talking about. I know I'm a Giants guy, and I'll probably get roasted for saying the Giants are going to lose at some point. They just believe in themselves. That's one thing I'll say, is they are as mentally kind of tough of a team as I've ever seen. And they have belief that they are going to win like every single game. And for the most part, they've gone out there and done it. So it would not shock me, which is something that would have shocked me to hear myself say at the beginning of the year, would not shock me if they somehow found a way to pull it off and win a World Series, which is crazy. That would just be insane. Story of the year in sports, in my opinion, if that happened. But I don't know, if you have to play the Dodgers in the NLDS, I don't like that. And if you know, if you have to play the wild card game against a team like the Cardinals with Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado, who have traditionally killed the Giants, I wouldn't like that. And so who knows? I don't know what the future is going to hold, but the Giants are going to the playoffs. As we said, when we started this conversation, there is comfort in that. You're at least going to get that one game. It would be in San Francisco. So I don't know, not much of a predictions guy.
That's all right. Ben, assuming the Phillies do not pull out a spot here in the playoffs, which again, not looking great. I haven't had hope for much of this season. Where can Phillies fans or whoever who would like to follow along in this Giants playoff run follow you and see your work?
Yeah, so I do the Locked On Giants podcast, of course, every weekday. The show, of course, titled Locked On Giants. We're on Apple, Spotify, whatever. And on YouTube, we do them every day on YouTube as well. We are free on all platforms, of course. And then I'm on Twitter at Ben Kaspic, last name Kaspick.
I, of course, am Dan Wilson. Follow me at Dan_Wilson4, Locked On Phillies at LO_Phillies. It's been a frustrating year. Sometimes makes you want to bang your head up against the wall, but 12 games left for the Fightin' Phils. Game two of a 3-game series against the Orioles tonight, 4 against the Pirates this weekend. I hope to make it to one, if not two, of these remaining games, because regardless of how the Phillies are playing, Citizens Bank Park, one of my favorite places in the world. And I'll still be sad when, you know, we have to wait an entire winter to return to that place. And again, not exactly hopeful that there will be playoff baseball in the city of brotherly love this season. And of course, there will be 6 games next week in Atlanta, in Miami, which just has disaster written all over it. Ben, happy to get our necessary Gabe Kapler update and our necessary update on the San Francisco Giants. I can't speak for the rest of the city of Philadelphia, but assuming the Phillies do not make it here, I actually will be pulling for the Giants. I think it would be one of the great stories in all of sports here this season. And I think it would just be fun to see, you know, Gabe Kapler did not get a fair shake here in Philadelphia. You know, let him win somewhere else, because it would be justification and vindication. He might be too classy to admit it himself, but I'm sure it would feel good from his perspective.
Definitely would. And honestly, I'm rooting for the Phillies too. I just think they've always been an interesting team to me, a team with some promise and some upside here. And they're in it. They're still in it. We've got 12 games or so left, and schedule is a little weak. So you've got a chance, and you get head-to-head games against the Braves. So you've got a shot, and that's all you can ask for.
Exactly right. I've been hearing that weak schedule thing for a while now.
And then you get shut out by the Orioles.
You get shut out by the Orioles. They lost. By the Braves last night scored more runs in the fifth inning in Arizona than the Phillies did in their entire series there. So I don't hang on that too much. But Ben Kaspic, always fun. And you know, obviously be following your work, listening and reading throughout the rest of this regular season and into the postseason as well.
Betting on baseball doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get your podcasts.